Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? There are three I am statements that we need to look at yet. This is one of them. Then there's the revelation in John 14 that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then Jesus in John 15 is going to reveal that he is the true vine. With this statement, the statement that we're considering this morning, I am the resurrection and the life. As we come to this statement, John is very carefully crafting this episode to show us what Jesus is getting at with this revelation. He sets the scene. There's really four acts in this drama that is taking place. There's the time with Jesus and his disciples away from the spotlight. They're away living separate or living separately from Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And Jesus has this dialogue with them about what has happened. Then there's the approach to Bethany where Jesus meets Martha. Then there's the interaction with Mary. And then there's the occasion where Jesus comes to the tomb and calls Lazarus out of the tomb. But as we go through this, there's some ideas that we need to pull through to understand the wonder of what Jesus is revealing in this glorious statement that I am the resurrection and the life. And it comes out in that episode in that time in which Jesus is with his disciples. He says, with his disciples, and he hears that Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is sick. And then he says, but this illness is not leading to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And as John writes this account, he wants to enforce to us that there's something behind this that causes Jesus to allow Lazarus to die. And that is his love. That Jesus loves Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They are people who are close to Jesus' heart. And they knew they were. Because Martha even says to Jesus, the one whom you love has died. This is one of the important things that we must remember, that this revelation, this account, this teaching of Jesus that I am the resurrection and the life is a reflection, it's an instruction in the love that he has for his people. Love for Lazarus. Notice what verse 6 says, and it's a conclusion. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, now this is kind of, so here's the sequence of events. When he hears that he's ill, he stays away 2 days longer because he knows that Lazarus has to die. Jesus waits for Lazarus to die because he loves Lazarus. It doesn't really fit our conception, our understanding of love. In an age of instant everything, God's love isn't measured by the instantaneous character of his response to us. God's love isn't displayed in an instantaneous relief of suffering. Often that's what we think. That as quickly as we can get our groceries, we can gain access to the love of God. And we can expect God to show his love in a particular way. So that's one aspect, that around this event is the love of Jesus. And in that love, he allows Lazarus to die. But there's another purpose. There's another reason. There's another thing that John is setting us up with. And that is that the reason for this event, this has all been designed, this has been orchestrated, and Jesus is part of that eternal decree. This has all been designed to show the glory of God and the glory of the Son of God. Jesus wants us to understand his glory. And our focus this morning, with that understanding that there's love in the background, there's love woven intricately through this whole episode by John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose is for us to perceive the glory of God. We come then to this revelation, and our focus is on what Jesus is teaching when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. What does he want you, what does he want me to know about when he says, I am the resurrection and the life? How does this show his glory? How does this show his love? So as we unpack this, we're going to look at this revelation, and we're going to consider, what does it mean? What does it mean that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that whoever believes in him, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die? Do you believe this? What does it mean? And how does this help us? How does this help us to know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and to love and to trust him, to respond to his love with a love and faith of him? So as we consider this revelation, I am the resurrection and the life, I'd like us to consider these two points. First of all, love revealed in truth. The love of God is revealed in truth. And secondly, life proclaimed in confession. Life proclaimed in confession. Those two things. First of all, love revealed in truth. Martha hears that Jesus is coming, and she gets up and she goes to meet him. As we look at God's word, verse 30 indicates that he hadn't yet come to their village. He hadn't yet arrived in the hometown of Bethany. He was still coming down the road and had yet to enter the village. And she says, and what she says is astounding. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, as we listen to that, we need to recognize she's not blaming Jesus. This isn't the words of derision that come from those who want to attack Jesus. Verse 37 reminds us there's some in the crowd who say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this? There's a cynicism, there's a skepticism, there's a sarcasm with regard to Jesus. Look at, he's such a great man, and he can't even heal this blind. If he really loved him, wouldn't he have done something for him? That's not Martha, that's not Mary. She's not blaming Jesus. This is not a charge of wrongdoing. It's a statement of reality. She knew Christ's power. She knew his ability. She recognizes that her brother's death was not beyond Jesus' control. And she comes to him and addresses him, Lord, Master, you're the one whom I look up to. And she continues to express her hope. Even now, he has died, but even now, verse 22, even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She lays her burden at his feet. She comes quickly not to lay charges and accusations and blame. She approaches confidently to her Lord, knowing that God will do whatever he asks. Isn't that interesting? When Jesus didn't do what she thought was the good path, Jesus, you could have come and healed him. Jesus, you could have been here. Lord, if you had been here, I know you would have intervened. She thought that would have been the good path, the good deed for Jesus to do. It would have been so easy to heal Lazarus. But notice she doesn't give up. She doesn't get angry. She doesn't get anxious. She doesn't respond shaking her fist in Jesus' face. Even when the path that Christ had chosen seems to be a path of suffering and difficulty, she comes to Jesus and she simply lays the burden at his feet. She comes knowing that Christ has come not to do his will, but the will of his Father in heaven. She knows who sent him. She's listened and she's processed and she holds to the reality that Christ has come to do the Father's will. And she doesn't see how this all fits, but she lays the burden. And isn't this a beautiful picture of prayer? We have our conception, we have our idea of what would be the good path for us to travel, of what would be the way that we can witness to the glory of God. But sometimes he takes us down a different path, and we say, now if I would be healed, if I would get better, if I would be strong, if I could gain the victory, that would be the way that God's name would be glorified. And God causes us to suffer, to struggle, to stay ill. And we don't see how it all fits. And that's when we have to come to Jesus like Martha. And we have to say, I know it's within your grasp, but here it is. Carry my burden. There's love that is being revealed in truth. And then Jesus responds to Martha's unloading of her burden. And he says to her, your brother will rise again. One commentator has beautifully said, verse 23 is a masterpiece of planned ambiguity. What does Jesus mean by this? What is he talking about? Your brother will rise again. Now, as the reader, as the all-knowing reader, we know the conclusion of the story. As the all-knowing reader, we have heard what Jesus has said to his disciples. We know what Jesus is talking about. We know that there's a miracle that's kind of waiting in the wings that Jesus is going to perform. But Martha didn't. Martha hasn't been with the disciples. She hasn't heard the Lord's conversation with the disciples that said when he said in verse 4, this illness does not lead to death, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. She doesn't hear that Jesus is coming as a light of the world to shine light. She doesn't hear that our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. She doesn't know any of that. We do as the reader, but Martha didn't. Her brother lies dead for 4 days now. 4 days that Jesus hasn't been there. 4 days that Jesus hasn't intervened. And yet her faith does not waver. Jesus says, your brother will rise again, and we know what's coming, but Martha doesn't. And her faith says, I know. I know. And I cling to that, and I hold on to that. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And she goes right to the end and she says, I know, I know. I know that my brother will rise again on the last day. She declares most certainly her hope in the resurrection. And this was a hope that would be found certainly amongst the Jews and amongst the Old Testament people. Remember Abraham. We've looked at Abraham. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he knew that God could raise him from the dead. He knew that there was a resurrection from the dead. If you look at Job in Job 19 says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last I will stand before him in the flesh, and I will see him as he is. Oh, my heart faints within me. There was a hope of the resurrection at the last day. And Martha says, I know that. But in her view of that resurrection of the last day, she overlooks and she looks right past the one who stands before her. And so Jesus says to her, and he kind of shortens her vision. He says, don't just think about that way down there at the end of time. Look at me. Do you see me? I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus reveals his love by proclaiming the truth. What Jesus says, however, is different from what he says to the disciples. To the disciples, he says, God has a greater purpose. God has a design of glory. God's glory and Christ's glory are going to be on display. And we hear that, and so often mentally we zoom, we race ahead to the miracle, and we say, ah, that's how it's going to be. And we go there. But Jesus doesn't take Mary there, or excuse me, Martha there. She says, look at me. He says, look who I am. I am the resurrection and life. Think about that in terms of the comfort that he could administer, that he does administer to her when she is in this time of grief and sorrow at the loss of her brother. How does Jesus in love comfort and show compassion to this one who is grieving so significantly? Now, we don't know everything that Jesus says, but God's word wants us to recognize that when Jesus comes to show his love, Jesus wants to comfort our grief-worn souls. He doesn't say to Martha, oh, Martha, I'm so sorry for your loss. But don't you see, God has a greater purpose for you in all of this. Sometimes we use that, and it's true. It's absolutely true. God does have a greater purpose. Jesus had spoken with his disciples about that greater purpose. But that's not the comfort he brings to Martha. He doesn't say, oh, Martha, I know you're sorrowful now, but you need to hold on to the greater purpose behind all of this. Nothing will stop God from his work. No, he takes her and he says, look at me, look at me. I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, that hope that you have for the last day, that hope of the confidence that you have in the work of God is right here in your presence before you, face to face. What he says, his truth, his revelation of who he is a different way than what we may appreciate in the time. You see, here is how Jesus shows comfort. He says it to Martha. He says it to you, O Christian, overwhelmed by grief and loss. Look at me. Cling to me. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, Jesus' word is the key to comfort and compassion in the midst of grief. And here is Jesus bringing comfort to a grief-stricken soul who has a hope, who has a faith, but looks past Jesus and he says, now stop. Stop for just a moment. Trust me. Trust me in this. Trust me in your life. And the gospel and the revelation of Jesus is the comfort, is the expression of his love. And it's an expression of love that doesn't bypass the grave, that doesn't avoid the grave, but gives comfort surrounding the grave. This is a word, and this is the way God is glorified in this event, not only in the fact that Lazarus is raised from the dead, but it's in the comfort for every Christian who doesn't receive back from the dead their loved one. That more significant than the love and compassion that you can express to that loved one you lay in the ground is the love and compassion you have from the word of Christ and from the work of Christ and from the presence of Christ. And he says in this most profound way, when he reveals himself as the resurrection and the life, no matter what the effects of the curse of sin may be, I can deliver you from them. I can save you. I can sustain you. I am the one who is your hope at the grave. And this is what we need to learn from this. Don't evaluate my love. Don't evaluate the love of Jesus that Jesus has for his disciples. This is what Jesus is saying to Martha. This is what Jesus is saying to the disciples. This is what Jesus is saying to us this morning. Don't evaluate my love by the way things appear, by your situation in life. Don't evaluate my love by what you're going through. Hear me. Listen to my word. Trust my work. I am the resurrection and the life. Of all that Jesus could say to comfort and to bring consolation to this grief-stricken woman, to the grief-stricken Christian, to the Christian who is overwhelmed by their suffering and struggling in life, Jesus says, here am I. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is showing the deeper, more profound spiritual reality of his love, of his life, of his purpose. Don't evaluate his love. Don't evaluate his compassion by your situation and by your surroundings. Instead, listen to his word. Trust him. Take him at his word. Believe in him. Be confident in what he has done for you. Because by believing in him, whoever believes in me, though he die, though he receive that ultimate end, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. By believing in him, you have crossed over from death to life. No one can take that from you. You see, resurrection isn't just the hope for the last day, but it's contracted right here and is brought right into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the hope. By listening in faith to the Son of God, by believing and placing your burdens at his feet, you have life, a life that no one can take from you. I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, people of God, if you believe the one who is the resurrection and the life, you not only possess life at the last day, you not only possess life that's going to go on for eternity, you possess that life right now, right here, in your situation, in your circumstance. You know the love that Christ has for you. You've been delivered from death. This is what Jesus is teaching. This is the truth. This is the truth that reveals his love, his compassion. Jesus' sympathy card that he gives to Martha is engraved with these glorious words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. There is no end of this love. There is no end of this fellowship. There is no return of the curse. You've been set free through Jesus Christ. That's the love revealed in truth. You have no greater expression of God's love for you than in knowing Christ Jesus, the Lord. Of hearing his gospel, of coming to him who is the resurrection and the life. And this word, this gospel, this grace, this compassionate love expressed in this truth is secondly proclaimed in confession. It's proclaimed in confession. It's proclaimed in the response of Martha. And Jesus confronts me. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that whoever believes in him, though he die, yet he shall live? And everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die? Do you recognize that there is life over death? Victory over the curse? Do you believe this? The result of Jesus' teaching really is a call for faith. Do you believe the idea? Do you believe in him? And that in him alone you have life? Even now you have that life. In short, this is the glory of the incarnation, of the coming of Jesus Christ. Your body may lie in the grave and decay, but you are alive. Even Lazarus, Martha, take comfort, as Lazarus was one of my children, is alive. And you'll see this, and it'll be testified, and it'll be witnessed to by the miracle of his coming from the grave. By the power of my word, I will call him forth. Just as Jesus does with every sinner, he uses his word to call them forth from death to life. And it's to a life right here, right now, in our situation. But as we go on and as we consider how this life proclaimed in confession, it's not just in the miracle, it's in the witness of Martha and in the testimony that she gives. He has come to bring life to those who are dead. The glory of God is revealed in this truth. Often we want to see the miracle rather than hold on to and hang on to the truth that Jesus is revealing here. What is more significant for you, to see someone walking from the dead? Jesus says, no, it's more significant if someone would believe the truth and hold on to the truth than to see someone rise from the dead. The greatest expression of love is the revelation of truth that God has given to you in his word. It's this truth that produces the miracle. It's this revelation that shows the glory of God. And the result of his teaching is this question of faith. Will you live? Will you live and will you testify in such a way that proclaims in confession, I believe the truth, no matter what? No matter what my situation, no matter what my circumstance, even when I have to face my own death, I recognize that though this body shall die, yet my soul shall live and I will never die again. Because Christ is the resurrection and the life. Your life is to be proclaiming that confession. And that's what Martha does. This question elicits a confession from Martha, and this is what she says. Yes, Lord, I do believe. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. What a profound confession. This is like Peter says in Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16. Who do men say that I am? Jesus asks his disciples. And Peter boldly steps up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here is Martha at the tomb, not at the tomb, but approaching the tomb with the death of her brother surrounding. And she says, and she's brought to this confession by Jesus' revelation of himself. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And just like Peter, the same thing that Jesus says to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed it to you. So Martha has been brought to this. Our most privileged place in God's kingdom is confessing the truth about Jesus. Our most privileged calling as God's children who have participated by faith in the work of Jesus Christ is this confession that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It's that wonderful realization, no matter where you are on the journey of life, that you can say, Jesus is my resurrection. And not only is this just an expression of an acknowledgement of the truth, it is an activating question. And what does Martha do? When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary. Goes to Mary. And like someone who's been touched by the truth, they want to comfort others who are grieving and to make known the blessed privilege of who the Savior is. She goes to Mary and tells her, go to Jesus for comfort. Go to him. He is the resurrection and the life. The teacher is here and is calling for you. He has something to show you. He has something to tell you. He has something to make known to you. Do you know his love? And she sends Mary on her way, and Mary goes to Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, let me show you. Where have you laid him? I'll show you what I can accomplish. His miracle is simply to show and to affirm the certainty of the truth that he has revealed. Oh, the wonder of Jesus, who Jesus is. Well, that's been our goal in looking through the I Am statements of Jesus. It's not to keep Jesus at a distance, not to just have an intellectual understanding, but to draw him to us and to draw ourselves to him and to see who he is and to understand how his word works in our lives. Come to him. You who are weary and heavy laden, come to him. You who are overwhelmed by the prospect of death, you who are hanging on to life and hoping that you don't expire, come to him. You who are indifferent to the realities, who think you're bulletproof, come to him and hear him and believe him. And you will see who he is as the resurrection and the life, who can give you hope and comfort and love, which will equip you for the grave. May God help us to have our burdens, and in the midst of our burdens, to lay them at Jesus' feet, to leave them at Jesus' feet, and to love him and confess this truth, that he is the resurrection and the life, and no matter what happens, we live because he lives. Let's close with a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this expression of love revealed in truth, that of all the ways that Jesus could have shown his love to Martha, of all the ways that Jesus could have shown his love to us, of all the ways that Jesus could have shown his love to Lazarus, to Mary, of all the ways that Jesus could have shown his love for you, the Father, he did this by revealing the truth. I am the resurrection and the life. He expressed his love by allowing Lazarus to die to show your glory. And no matter what might assault us or confront us, nothing can take life from us, which is secured by the Son of God. Help us then to have a life that proclaims in word and deed that he is the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world to bring to life those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Thank you for this word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.